answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I spoke with President Trump for 20 minutes about the situation with Iran. He talked about Project Freedom and the U.S. efforts to guide vessels through the Strait of Hormuz, issuing a new warning to the Iranian regime, saying if the Iranians try to target U.S. ships in this area, they will be, quote, blown off the face of the earth. Remember, this was a project implemented by the Americans overnight to assist the hundreds of vessels that are currently trapped in the Persian Gulf. We're talking about more than 20,000 sailors, and the president told Fox he's doing this for humanity. Some of these sailors were running out of food and supplies on these vessels due to the Iranian threats that are ongoing in this area. And again, the president saying that if U.S. ships in the region are targeted, the Iranians will be blown off the face of the earth. Now, I also asked President Trump about the possibility of negotiations with Iran succeeding. He said the Iranians are being far more malleable than they were being in the past, showing flexibility given the U.S. pressure that continues as part of the American blockade of Iranian ports.
That is Trey Yaines to Fox News. And that last part he's talking about, Trump is saying the new regime or the latest successors to those already wiped out by the U.S. appear to be more malleable. In other words, the deeper we get into the ranks of the Iranian regime or those who are trying to lead it, they're beginning to accept their fate and realize we really need to work with America and maybe not continue to shout death to America just to save our own skins. And of course, he was referring to that blockade we put in place and the fact that Trump said we're going to start escorting and guiding ships through the Strait of Hormuz. During that first day of operation yesterday, Iran did conduct several attacks on our U.S. Navy ships that were also passing through the Strait and other commercial vessels, hitting none of them. And General Kane says the Iranian attacks, and I'm quoting, were below the threshold of restarting major combat operations. And of course, you have those on the left saying, no, you are violating the War Powers Act. You've exceeded your 60 days. No, we actually stopped prior to that target date and then have tried to work out a peace. Makes no difference to the left. They want to destroy Trump, even if it means destroying America. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA. Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, 2026. And with Larry Connors, USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. We're here on the air for you every day from 6 to 8 p.m. In our next hour, getting illegals off the welfare rolls. Trump is taking action to do that. And this is protecting your money, your Social Security, your welfare benefits, instead of letting it be stolen by illegals in the country, admitted through the open border policy of Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe Biden. And later in this hour, a prediction. Are you listening? A prediction. You will not, in the near future, admit you even voted for Trump. Really? Wait till you hear who makes that prediction. That's coming up a little bit later. And our story behind the story today, the Concorde jet, Mach 2, New York City to London, about 3 hours. And then it all went away. What happened? Oh, and also make note of this date, 1961, the first American in space, Alan Shepard. On this date, 1961. So as we continue to watch how things are playing out in the Strait, the U.S. military said Apache and Seahawk helicopters hit six Iranian boats that were threatening commercial shipping, and we did repel missile and drone attacks. Iran's latest warning is that we're going to continue to go after those ships and your Navy vessels as well. And you heard what Trey Yanks said. Trump said we will blow them out of the water and blow them off the map, basically. General King, retired four-star general, talks about the defense we have for our troops in that region.
It's a layered defense that goes scores of miles out from the Straits of Hormuz, with hundreds of aircraft, both manned and unmanned, in an air defense posture to defeat missiles, anti-ship missiles, and drones coming to hit a target in the Straits of Hormuz. The second part of that is a dome defense right at the straits itself. Think of a dome making certain that nothing from the land there, immediate land-based, nothing that penetrates through that layer of defense, and certainly that's possible, it would be dealt with right at the straits then in terms of terminal defense. And then if there's anything coming from the sea, both on the surface or underneath the surface, it will be defeated. So there's going to be that kind of dome over the straits to protect it in terms of terminal defense.
And again, that layered defense means you've got to get through various layers before you can actually get to our troops. That does not mean to say they're not in harm's way. They most certainly are. And you got the French president coming forward, Macron, speaking with the Iranian president today. Macron's pointing out that we have maintained a consistent position from the start. We call for cessation of all hostilities. Does he not know that Iran has ballistic missiles which can hit right into the heart of France? And I'm looking at a piece even published by CNN. Parts of the Iranian nuclear supply chain appear to have survived U.S. and Israeli attacks. And keep in mind, that is the key reason we're there. So in addition to General King talking about their layered defense, he said we're still trying to work with these shipping companies and get them safely through the strait.
For a couple of weeks now, CENTCOM has been talking to ship owners, ship insurers, and actually the captains of the ship. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of ships that once we're able to achieve security and the lane is already clear and we feel comfortable about the defense I just described being in place, there are ship merchants and owners who are willing to move their ships through the straits.
And that's a key point. And in part, some of them have not done it because they've been informed by the insurance companies of those ships, we're not going to insure you if you go through there. So if Trump and the U.S. do not provide security for them, everything will stop going through. We don't care as long as it's Iran not getting its oil out, but we are willing to help other nations. Where is NATO? Where is France and the other nations? They're sitting quietly again, waiting for us to do the heavy lifting. And yet the leftists continue to try to spear President Trump. Listen to MSN now, pompous arse that he is, Lawrence O'Donnell.
Well, on day 65 of Donald Trump's illegal war, Donald Trump threatened another war crime, this time telling a Fox reporter in a telephone interview that Iran will be, quote, blown off the face of the earth if Iran attacks United States Navy ships in the region. Donald Trump's war became fully illegal last week, and Donald Trump seems to know that.
What they call a military operation, you know, they don't like the word war, and they call it a military operation because that way you don't have a war, you don't have legal problems.
Legal problems. That was day 62 of Donald Trump's war, and he had a legal problem. By the time Donald Trump said that, even Donald Trump seemed to know that the War Powers Act, passed in 1973, made Donald Trump's war illegal last week. The War Powers Act says that the president can launch military operations for a maximum of 60 days, quote, unless the Congress has declared war or has enacted a specific authorization for such use of United States Armed Forces. And today, on the 65th day of Donald Trump's illegal war, he chose this childish language to continue his violation of the War Powers Act.
Our country's booming now, despite the fact that we're in a, I call it a mini war.
A mini war.
As I said, Lawrence O'Donnell, pompous arse that he is, trying to negate everything we're trying to accomplish. And again, even our own allies are not stepping up to the plate as they should. The French President Macron did say any unilateral escalation against tankers, container ships, or third countries is a mistake that fuels war and leads to escalation. Well, that's what exactly they've been doing. Macron, why are you not calling out Iran for doing so? There's a leftist mouthpiece who had and still is posing as a Republican, has a prediction about anyone who has voted for Donald Trump.
I just feel that I feel bad for the people that are being misled down this path. But I guarantee you something, and I know this. In 5 or 10 years, there won't be a single person left in this country that will ever admit to supporting Donald Trump, except for those that have their stuff all over Twitter. Because I think the speed at which he's spiraling, I mean, we're a year and a half into him. The speed at which he's spiraling, I think, is just going to increase. And eventually people are going to be like, yeah, we've had enough.
Yeah, you would hope. You would hope. I'll tell you his name, and then you tell me if you even remember who he is. Adam Kinzinger. Now, some of you might say, especially if you're in Illinois, yeah, I remember that guy. He was a Republican elected in Illinois. That's correct, as a congressman. But Adam Kinzinger fueled the hate Trump, joining the Russian collusion story and piling on. And now he's stating, I don't think there will be a single person left in this country in 5 to 10 years who will ever admit to supporting President Trump. How many regret supporting you, Adam Kinzinger? How many want to forget that they ever did know you and probably have already forgotten they do? There's a former Clinton pollster who's making a prediction. Listen carefully.
This is closer than people think it is. People are unhappy with the economy. They're unhappy with the Republicans, but they're also even unhappier with the Democrats. And so you have to say, is this election going to be a referendum on the Republicans, in which case that's bad, or is it going to be a choice? And are the Republicans going to be able to make it a choice? If they do that, when I ask, who do you have more confidence in to handle the economy, Trump and the Republicans or the Democrats in Congress, Trump and the Republicans win that 53-47. So, yes, people are really suffering in terms of the way they perceive the economy, and they're unhappy with the way it's going, but the Democrats haven't stepped up and shown that they will do a better job. And that's why I think this election, although usually the in-party goes out, is still closer than most people think.
That is former Clinton pollster Mark Penn. Regarding the midterms, it is closer than many think it is. He said, yes, people are unhappy with the Republicans and certainly Donald Trump. But then he added, they seem to be more unhappy with the Democrats. And I would say rightly so. And based upon that, keep in mind something else. Governor Pritzker is now saying, can we just move on? I want to move on from losing. He did that in an article and an interview with Politico, basically saying, I just want us to move on. I want us to win again. We need to quit going over the past. That was Governor Pritzker. We want to move on from losing. But of course, you're dealing with anti-Semitism inside your own ranks, the Trump hatred, and the basic failure of the leftists. And that includes dealing with folks like Fetterman who are actually trying to walk a straight line for Democrats, not falling onto the left side as deeply as the leftists want to hijack him. And CNN senior commentator Van Jones responded to efforts to convince Fetterman of Pennsylvania to lead the party by saying, it just shows you how nutty things have gotten, that somebody who wants to stick up for Israel and does not want an open border somehow now has to be a Republican. That's completely insane. I would think that John Fetterman would not fit in the Republican Party any better than I would. But he's talking sanity, Fetterman. We don't want to turn our back on Israel. We don't want an open border. That doesn't necessarily make you a Republican. It shouldn't, but it does nowadays because the far left has hijacked the Democrat Party. As long as they have a gun to their head, they're going to continue to walk the line they want them to. But then a former Trump campaign advisor talking to Van Jones on the CNN program said, but your party, the Democrats, Van, your party doesn't want him. And Jones answered, yeah, I know. Listen, I think a lot of this stuff is just what people do to throw shade and criticism. John Fetterman is a great man. He's a great American. He's a maverick. We need people like that in this party. But I don't get it. He's not going to be a Republican. He should be able to be a Democrat and not get a bunch of nonsense thrown at him. I second that remark. But that's the issue inside the Democrat Party right now. You cannot speak your mind and speak sanely because you're not falling under the premise, the headline, the tabloid presentation of the leftists. You've got to hate Jews, and you certainly have to hate Trump, and you probably have to hate America if you're going to be a Democrat in today's Democrat Party. And they still can't figure out why they're coming undone. I love it. Absolutely love it. Coming up, a gunman, of course, was shot near the White House yesterday. I'll have more on that story. It turns out to be a crazy from Texas. Yes, there are crazies inside Texas. I'll be the first to admit that. And we'll also hear from Dr. Oz on protecting your Social Security and your health benefits being stolen by illegals. Plus, the story behind the story of the Concorde jet from New York to London in 3 hours, and then all of a sudden, the whole project went away. What happened? The story behind the story, still to come. You don't want to go anywhere. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes. The German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Andersen, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm chasing tail lights straight as a crow flies, hunting just a standard country road. Got a shotgun, it's riding shotgun, and we're both fixing to unload. Son, I know what you've done. There's only one way to outrun me. You better pray your tank don't beat mine to eat.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The White House briefly went under lockdown after a suspect allegedly shot at Secret Service just four blocks away. Here by the Washington Monument, the Secret Service said officers spotted a gun and tried to stop a man who allegedly fled and fired in the direction of the Secret Service.
Not long before this shooting occurred, the vice president's motorcade did transit through this area.
Officers returned fire, hitting the suspect. A young bystander also was struck in the crossfire.
It's a juvenile, did not sustain any life-threatening injuries, but he's also receiving treatment at the hospital.
And again, that is part of a news report regarding the shooting happening near the White House yesterday. Today, the Secret Service identifying the man as, or D.C. police rather, identifying him as a 45-year-old from Texas. The motive, still not very clear. He was spotted, as you heard, near the White House, near the Washington Monument specifically, and carrying a pistol. And when police Secret Service went to check on him, he pulled out the firearm and opened fire. And they, in turn, fired back and engaged him. He has been hospitalized, and as you heard, a juvenile was hit, a child struck by a bullet during the exchange, a gunfire caught in the crossfire. And that is not to say the guy was going to get to the White House or intended to and wanted to kill Trump, but this is, again, following the calls from the left and the hatred that they're fueling. You got all kinds of wackos coming out. And, of course, we had this the other day with the White House Correspondents Association dinner. And then the judge ended up making an apology to the man arrested and being held for taking a gun or trying to get inside the ballroom where the president and others were. Fox News dealt with that issue.
Judge Zia Faraqui apologized to suspect Cole Allen for the treatment he's received so far while he's been behind bars. He's been put on suicide watch by the Department of Corrections, and the judge was asking why. An attorney for the government said that he was put on suicide watch because he told FBI agents the night of the White House Correspondents' Dinner attack that he didn't expect to survive.
A judge apologized to this guy who's a killer? Who, if he had gotten another couple yards, would have sprayed the whole audience in the Correspondents' Center? I mean, would have just sprayed him and killed God knows how many? And we're apologizing to this guy? I don't get that.
Seems more concerned about his constitutional rights in some cases than others.
Constitutional rights.
Yeah. And keep in mind, when he apologized, said, I'm sorry you were put in an isolated section of the jail. But I have no doubt the man did not think he was going to survive trying to get into the ballroom. He wanted suicide by cop, suicide by Secret Service. If he could also get Trump, that was really the prime goal. And then the judge issuing an apology. Well, I'm sorry we have mistreated you. I know the guy is, quote, a suspect and charged, allegedly, all of this stuff. But look at the video, judge. That's the guy coming through, obviously, with intent to do harm. And you sit there and apologize. I told you the other day, right after that event, there was a Wisconsin beer company. The guy that owns it was offering free beer in the event of President Donald Trump's death. Well, over the weekend, he announced that he was going to run for governor in Wisconsin, saying, I believe Wisconsin needs a battle-hardened fighter to join the rest of America to save our democracy from Trump's regime. And that person does not exist in the crowded field of Democrats currently running. And this is the guy that was posting that if Trump dies by whatever means, we will have free beer for everyone on that day that he dies. And again, the left can't understand what's happening. Again, back to Governor Pritzker making his remarks to Politico. I'm tired of losing. I want to move on from losing. You're not going to move on from losing with that kind of attitude permeating your ranks. I can smell it from here. Then, of course, trying to protect Americans, not just their lives, but their income, and especially from illegals who've come into the nation under the open border policy. They've been robbing your Social Security and your health care. We'll hear more from President Trump on that later. But there's some of the fraud that's been going on for some time in various sectors, and it's not just Minnesota. Dr. Oz on what's happening in California.
This is massive fraud. Now, we've already delisted 450 hospices. That is an unbelievably large number. And guess what? In that first tranche, no one's complained. No one's calling us and saying, no, we are innocent. They know they got caught. They're just going to go off and scam somebody else, which is what's happening, by the way. There's been a sevenfold increase of hospices in Nevada. People flee from California to Nevada. These scumbags just rinse and repeat. They're going to Arizona. They're going to Texas.
Mamet, why don't you throw them in jail? Just throw them in jail. I mean, put them in the pokey.
This is a big, big decision point. When you try to put people in the pokey, it takes years of careful investigations. That's how the system is built. But you know what I can do right now, Larry? I can stop paying you. And when we tell several hundred hospices, we're no longer paying you, guess what they do? They shut their doors and they run away.
Great. That's perfect. That starts. It's like getting rid of the termites. No, the cockroaches. Dr. Oz was obviously on Larry Kudlow's program. Dr. Oz, the administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And he said, not one person, not one group called out of these 450 hospices complained and said, no, we have done nothing wrong. We are innocent. You know why? Because they can't make that claim. And once again, Dr. Oz.
Let's get into the root cause of this problem. Nobody was paying attention. And when thieves steal, they corrupt the entire society. So these busts that you're witnessing here, conducted by Billy Asile, who's the U.S. attorney out there, are the first major efforts to show the people of Los Angeles that we are serious about this problem, which is wanton, out-of-control, rabid fraud, not just in hospice, by the way. There's also personal care services and other areas we'll get into. But let me put the numbers out there so everyone's clear. One in three hospices in America are in Los Angeles, not California, LA. One in three. I mean, how many people are dying there? obviously is fraudulent. You have doctors selling their souls, basically their license number, to open multiple hospice relationships. They dishonestly claim people are dying when they're not. If they steal your money, they will steal your life. They don't care at all about you.
They don't care about you. And damn it, they want you to die. That's why they set up this program. But even if you're not going to die, we're going to put you on there as a hospice patient. You're supposed to die. You will in time. And of course, then we have the fraud in Minnesota. And when you begin to turn on the light, like I said, the cockroaches will start scurrying under the corners of the cabinets and into the dark. And that's what's happening in Minnesota. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz rapidly demoted the head of the state agency that oversees disbursement of social services program funding Medicaid, housing, and others. The Missouri Department of Human Services got cast into the national spotlight, where we found a fraud network connected to the Somalia community in Minneapolis. And the person that Governor Walz had appointed to serve as commissioner in leadership, she got booted from her leadership position yesterday because today she was set to face an official confirmation. Basically focusing on the scandal gripping the agency. She's been acting commissioner since 2025. And today she was to be officially confirmed. See, Walz is kicking her out because now you can say, well, boy, once I realized what's going on, I got rid of her. I'm done. We're going to run a pick six game. They're all idiots, and they certainly don't hide showing it, do they? So Governor Walz quickly decides to remove and demote the head of his state agency that is part of the target. All the fraud inside Minnesota. And he put her there. And he knew it was going on. Trying to silence her at this point, saying, well, she's not the head of it anymore. You shouldn't be talking to her. Oh, no, we'll still talk to her. We'll still investigate. And, of course, maybe she'll turn around and bite him now when she does go into testimony. Oh, today, Secretary of State Rubio stepped up to serve as the White House press secretary as she began her paternity leave. But he did it just for today. I don't think he'll do it many more times. Coming up, the story behind the story, the Concord disaster, how it happened, what happened next.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
In 1962, a treaty was signed by the French and British governments. They would pool resources and knowledge and work together to build the world's first supersonic commercial airliner. Both countries had already independently begun working on designs, one from the Bristol Aeroplane Company and one from Sud Aviation, and both had reached a stage where they were ready to build a prototype by the early 1960s. The Second World War had stimulated huge progression in aviation, resulting in the post-war jet age and the birth of supersonic flight. Money was pouring into commercial aviation in the 1950s, yet despite this industry boom, the cost of designing a supersonic airliner was more than the BAC or Sud Aviation, now called Aerospatiale, could manage. Thus, the treaty between France and Britain was signed, and the Concorde project was born. It was now up to the engineers and experts to turn this ambitious concept into a reality.
That is a section from the Imperial War Museum talking about the building of the Concorde, acknowledging that it was going to cost too much for one nation to do it. That's why Britain and France joined together. And keep in mind, the Concorde was going to be flying at Mach 2, 1,350 miles per second, 1,350 miles per second. The capacity as it was being designed, it would carry 92 to maybe 128 passengers, very little luggage. You had to limit how much you put on board. I remember one time looking at taking a flight on the Concorde over to England and then sailing back. The cost was very high, but they had a package deal together that made it look like a very good deal, but it just didn't work for my schedule. So they had started working on it, producing prototypes, and then they finally got to that first flight.
The world's first sight of a supersonic airliner. Sleek, purposeful, imposing. A supersonic airliner that will give Britain and France an assured and profitable place in the vast civil aviation market of the 70s. The debut of Concorde.
But the prototype aircraft were far from ready to be opened up for supersonic passenger flights. It would be another 8 years until Concorde would take her first commercial passenger flight in 1976. And that's where Concorde 101 and 102 came in. These pre-production aircraft were the third and fourth Concordes built. Their purpose was for the testing and refinement of all of Concorde's problems, from how to deal with ice buildup on the wings to seeing how Concorde would cope traveling at Mach 2 in thin desert heat. The testing of Concorde would go on for 7 years.
They would end up building a total of 20, but only 14 were actually put in place to be used as commercial carriers. And believe it or not, they'd even considered, for the safety of those on board, an escape hatch in case some disaster happened at Mach 2.
Most importantly, but never used, the escape chute. And in fact, it can be used at Mach 2, which sounds unbelievable. So how do you save a person who's jumping out of an airplane at Mach 2 when his legs are going to be the first to exit? When the red beacon is lit there, it's time to abandon ship, and the crew will probably say, let's go. So the process of this, thankfully it's never been used in anger, this hatch explodes back, the outer hatch explodes out, and this chute or blade slides down. And the idea of this shield is to stop your legs getting whipped away from you as you exit the outer hatch and getting dragged towards the engine. So you can actually escape from this airplane at Mach 2.
That was the idea. But when the disaster hit, it was not at Mach 2. July 25, 2000. Those on board had no chance. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
It was July the 25th, 2000, and the unthinkable had happened.
The world's most prestigious aircraft crashes. More than 100 people are dead.
Couldn't believe it because it couldn't crash. It was too magical to crash. Do you know what I mean? It sounds childish, but in your mind it was just forever. And to think people that died, it was just dreadful.
According to Air France, of the 100 passengers, two were Danish, one was a US citizen, the rest were German.
The crash at Gonesse shocked the world. Now every detail of the final moments of Flight 4590 was scrutinised.
It was a crash that was a classic aircraft accident. It was a whole series of events, and it was the cumulative effect of each of the errors in this error chain that led to the final overwhelming catastrophe.
In other words, there were several things that were happening before it got to that catastrophic level. The things had not been checked properly. And it all goes back partly to some maintenance.
It was a hot July day in Paris, and the Air France Concorde was on a charter flight taking 100 passengers to New York to join a cruise ship. It was fully laden.
The airplane had been overfueled. All the fuel tanks and the wing had been filled up completely full. 19 items of baggage were put in the rear cargo hold, which were never weighed. The net result of all this was that the airplane was over the maximum structural weight.
They were running late, so there was a lot of pressure on the crew to taxi out and take off as quickly as possible and to get to New York non-stop.
By the time it had got to the runway threshold, it had only burnt 800 kilos of the 2,000 kilos of taxi fuel that he had allowed for. And what he should have done was to have burned off all that taxi fuel before he got airborne.
As they went down the runway, the airplane encountered a piece of metal lying on the runway that had come off a Continental Airlines DC-10.
There was a piece of metal left on the runway, but there were also maintenance errors on the part of Air France in the left-hand undercarriage, which had been worked on by Air France a couple of days before the crash. They'd failed to put back in there a component called the spacer. Without that spacer, the wheels could wobble around like wheels on a supermarket trolley.
In other words, if the disaster did not happen when the tires hit that piece of metal, there might have been another opportunity, certainly another opportunity. When the Concorde was lifting off that Air France flight 4590, it only flew for maybe 90 seconds as it began to lift off. because when it struck that piece of metal, it threw it into the engine and the blowout that followed.
The tire encountered the piece of metal when the airplane was traveling at 185 miles an hour as the piece of metal cuts in. But it didn't puncture the tire in a conventional way. What it did was scalp the tire. That flew up and hit the underside of the airplane with a tremendous amount of energy.
It set up a shockwave in that fuel tank. There was no airspace in the fuel tank to absorb the energy of that shockwave.
It blew out a piece of metal, not a rupture from inside to out, but a mini explosion from inside, and out came 100 liters a second of fuel. A really massive fire generating a lot of smoke and a lot of unburned fuel, which goes into the engines.
The fire warning went off for the number two engine, and the flight engineer, without any discussion with the captain or the first officer at all, just went straight into a fire drill and shut that engine down.
The pilot rotated the aircraft 15 knots early to try and climb away. It went off to the left-hand side of the runway, hit a runway light before getting airborne.
Sadly, staggered into the air, it never remotely reached its in-flight safety speed, which was 220 knots.
They tried to climb away, got to about 200 feet, but couldn't climb anymore. But the real damage was done. The real damage was this massive fire.
This dreadful blowtorch of fuel, flaming fuel, pouring out of tank number five, causing the center of gravity to move further rearwards, and this led to the airplane just rearing up.
And once that had happened, really sadly, the airplane and all those on board were doomed.
When a pilot is taking off, they must have the proper speed before they rotate, begin to lift off the tarmac. And you need to know your weight on your plane. And you might need more runway before the takeoff. You might need to increase your speed. You've got to have several things in front of you checked off before you even begin the run down the runway. But as you heard, they clearly were rushing. They wanted to make sure they got off. They wanted to stay on schedule, as they would say in Britain. Keep in mind, they could fly between either Air France or British Airways using the Concorde, could basically cross the Atlantic in under 3.5 hours at 60,000 feet. But in this case, they barely got off the ground. When the pilot lifted up, he had no idea knowing that the rupture tank was going to happen, but it did. The flight engineer, seeing the fire in the engine, his responsibility, shut down the engine without even waiting for an explanation. I've heard folks question if he should have done it. I don't think that would have saved the plane anyway, if he kept the engine running. It was fully engulfed in flames. If you've ever seen the video, it's a long streak of flames following the plane. Those on board that flight, in addition to the abrupt movement and direction of the plane, many probably could look out and easily see the flames trailing behind them because they were so long. Of course, immediately the investigation began. And eventually, aside from the investigation revealing what you just heard, the Concorde was retired in October 2003. But it was not just that 2000 crash. It was a 9/11 downturn, of course, that happened after 9/11, and high operating cost. But they did, in the final days, schedule more flights, and more folks were anxious to get on board one of those flights.
First one Concorde, then another, a sight never seen before, three in all waiting to land.
As we came down, we saw tons and tons of people all waving and shouting and with flags and banners, and all of the fire engines from Heathrow had their hoses on, and they were spraying water all over Concorde as it landed. It was very, very moving because it was like it was totally the end of an era. It was the end of an era.
end of the reception, about 10:30 at night, I walked out across the tarmac. I was the last to leave, and there were five perfectly serviceable Concords sitting on the ramp, and they would never carry fare-paying passengers again. And that's the time when it really hit me, and that's the time when there was literally a tear in the eye.
And again, the failure of the Concorde flights was not just due to that one crash. Numerous airliners and planes have been involved in crashes, and they've made adjustments and moved on, and people were still flying. And there was a rush of folks wanting to be on one of those final Concorde flights. They were willing to do so. The prices were exorbitant, but for many of them, it was nickels and dimes. And they put aside the fear of that crash. There was another issue that kept the Concorde from being seen all across the USA, and that was the sonic booms. In fact, there were lawsuits to prevent the plane from even showing up in the USA. I'm going to talk about that in more detail in our second hour. We're going to carry over the story behind the story into the second hour today, and how they were fighting them throughout the nation and other countries as well. They did not want that plane in their region because of the sonic booms. So we'll be discussing that in more detail coming up in our second hour. The Concorde first flight, March 2nd, 1969. Retired in October 2003. And it was indeed an era that came to an end. That iconic drooping nose allowing it to operate at supersonic speeds. Twice the speed of sound, 1,350 miles per hour. We have not tried that since then. And part of it may be the opposition we'll talk about in our next hour. Tomorrow, another story behind the story. It involves another air tragedy. On the date of tomorrow, the tragic story of the Hindenburg. Our second hour is yet to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent's Jewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Underlaw. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Underlaw will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Underlaw does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Underlaw has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.